Okay, Mark chapter 13. As he walked, this Jesus, as he walked away from the temple, one of his disciples said, "Teacher, look at that stonework, those buildings." Jesus said, "You're impressed by this grandiose architecture? There's not a stone in the whole works that is not going to end up in a heap of rubble." Later, as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, in full view of the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew got him off by himself and asked, "Tell us, when is this going to happen? What sign will we get that things are coming to a head?" Jesus began, "Watch out for doomsday deceivers. Many leaders are going to show up with forged identities claiming, 'I'm the one.' They will deceive a lot of people. When you hear of wars and rumored wars, keep your head. Don't panic. This is routine history." It's what? "This is routine history, and it's no sign of the end. Nation will fight against nation, ruler fight ruler, over and over, even if they're confident or not. Earthquakes will occur in various places. There will be famines. But these things are nothing compared to what's coming. And watch out. They're going to drag you into court. And then it will go from bad to worse. Dog eat dog. Everyone at your throat because you carry my name. You are placed there as sentinels to the truth. The message has to be preached all across the world." Where? "When they bring you betrayed into court, don't worry about what you'll say. When the time comes, say what's on your heart. The Holy Spirit will make his witness in and through you. It's going to be brother killing brother, father killing child, children killing parents. There's no telling who will hate you because of me. Stay with it. That's what is required. Stay with it to the end. You won't be sorry. You'll be saved." Hey, man, I tell you, I have so enjoyed praying through the book of Mark. It's been incredible. It was actually difficult to pick a passage to preach on this morning because you try praying through one chapter a day. There's just so much. And then I went from Mark to Romans. Oh, my goodness. Oh, okay. That's another story. Warren Wiersbe says this about this passage. "We must see the practical application of this discourse." It's called the Olivet Discourse because he was sitting on the Mount of Olives. They loved olives. I love olives. "Jesus did not preach this sermon to satisfy the curiosity of his disciples or even to straighten out their confused thinking. While studying this address can help us better understand future events, we mustn't make the mistake of setting dates." In other words, as we look at this morning, I'm not going to try and talk to you about when Jesus is coming back and all that kind of stuff, because that's not what was going on here. Jesus was talking to them about their immediate situation. He didn't give them any new information. And after you've come to the Old Testament seminar, you'd realize that because he was just repeating what the prophet Daniel had said was going to happen, which as good Jews, they knew exactly what it was going to be. Wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, famines, etc., etc. But this is the beginning of birth pains. No new information here. But if we only read the New Testament, we think, wow, now we've got to find out what's going to happen next. No, this is about how do you live today? What's happening today? So let's just break this chapter up a bit. There's a whole lot of stuff that we can take out. I learned a new word this week, circumlocution. Do you know what that is? Google it. Ask my friend Google. It's like when you say the same thing over and over again, you can actually cut out quite a bit of stuff. So let's cut out a bit of stuff. Starts off, Jesus said, "You're impressed with this grandiose architecture? There's not a stone in the whole works that's going to end up in a heap of rubble. When's this going to happen? What sign will we get?" Jesus began, watch out for, here we go, doomsday deceivers. Wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes. People coming and saying, I'm the one, etc., etc., etc. Looking out for people who are trying to get you to go off track on your faith. But this is routine history. It's not a sign of the end. Interesting, eh? It's not a sign of the end. And watch out, it's going to get worse. Everyone's going to be at your throat because of me. There's no telling who's going to hate you because of me. He talks about governments hating you. Then he gets into family members. Everyone's going to hate you because of me. You experience that? Even your own family. You're placed there. I guess we could say we're placed here as sentinels to the truth. Wow. In a world that's full of lies, we are placed by God as sentinels to the truth. Tell the person next to you, you're a sentinel. Now turn back and say, I need to look up what that word means. The message that God loves us, that God sent his son to pay the price for our sins, that we can have forgiveness. The message of the gospel has to be preached to every tribe, every tongue, every nation. Not only to your neighbor, but definitely to your neighbor. Don't worry about what you'll say. It's like Jesus knows what they're thinking. Jesus knows what I'm thinking. Jesus knows what you're thinking. The message must get preached. Oh, God, thank you so much for Matt because he doesn't mind doing this. Thank you for Ovette. Thank you for Tommy. But for me, I don't know what I'm going to say. Don't worry about what you're going to say because the Holy Spirit will do his thing through you. Stay with it to the end. You won't be sorry. You'll be saved. Love this. And so, we're talking about mind games. The whole key is on that routine history thing. And it's not a sign of the end. The mind games. I asked my friend Google what it is that people worry about. And top things that adults worry about, the future. The future. Number two, money. Number three, relationships. And why am I doing it not in order? Well, I'm just having mind games with you. That's all. Number four, there is a number four. Number four. Oh, there it is. Job security. Those are the top four things adults worry about. Young people, younger adults, becoming adults, younger adults. Top 10 things they worry about. Number 10, I'm not going to have a happy marriage. Number 9, I'm going to die of AIDS. Amazing, eh? Number 8, I have to have sex to be accepted. Number 7, I can't find time to do everything. Number 6, I can't tell right from wrong. Number 5, peer pressure scares me. I mean, I just have to go along with the flow. Otherwise, I'm going to be rejected. Number 4, I'm going to end up as a victim of violence. And this is Don't think that this is unique to our country. This is worldwide. Number three, I'm not going to be able to make it financially. Second biggest fear of young people, I can't get a good enough education. And the number one, something bad's going to happen to my family. Do you identify with any of those? Who identifies with one? 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 30, 40, 50. It's amazing how it fits into these categories, eh? Things that we can't do. Got no control over that. Stuff that's going to happen in the future. How do I know what to say? And what others think of me? All our fears are wrapped up in this. On the 20th of August, 2017, your fears, my fears, can go into these four categories. Our worries, our concerns, whatever they may be. Exactly the same as the disciples. And that's why Jesus said these things. He said, you're impressed by this grandiose architecture? There's not a stone in the whole works that's not going to end up as a pile of rubble. This was a serious temple that they were looking at. This is the temple in Jesus' day. It was the third temple that was built, but it's not called the third temple. It's called Herod's temple. And it was massive. So the first temple was built by Solomon. Remember, Old Testament, okay, I guess sneak preview for 3rd of September. God gave Moses instructions for a tabernacle, which is a tent. Solomon built a temple. Solomon's temple was amazing. But Solomon's temple was probably, look at the right-hand screen, about the size of that only. I'll give you a bigger picture just now of what this temple looked like. And then Solomon's temple was destroyed. A guy by the name of Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes came along and destroyed the temple, sacrificed a pig on the altar, the abomination that causes desolation. Right there, it was like, it was hectic stuff. Temple was destroyed and people taken off into captivity. And then word got through to a guy named Zerubbabel. They said, Zerubbabel, we're in trouble. The temple is in rubbable. We need help on the dubbable. Sneak preview. I couldn't resist. Gets worse. And so he came back and he built the temple. But it was not a really nice one. And then all kinds of stuff happened, years passed, and Herod decided to rebuild the temple. And he made a seriously grandiose structure. Today, they still have a couple of the stones. This is one stone. 13.7 meters by 3.2 meters by 4 meters. One stone. Hey? Weighs approximately 570 tons. That's one stone. This was a massive structure. Some important things to point out here. Here's the temple, but then there was this huge structure. Look at this. Can you read what that says? Gentiles' courtyard. where the Gentiles are meant to come and worship God. But instead, the Jews put the money changers there. And there was no place left for the Gentiles to worship. You got the royal portico, northern portico. They would have like, there were meeting rooms up here. And more than likely, one of these, Solomon's portico, is where most people think the disciples were meeting. That's the upper room. It wasn't someone's house with the upper room. I mean, how do you fit 3,000 people outside? You're not going to do that. Now, there were 3,000 Gentiles outside because they heard them speaking in tongues in their own language. So there were 3,000 people outside here in the court of the Gentiles. The Holy Spirit fills them. They hear what's going on. And I mention that to give you an idea of the size of this thing. This is massive. And so the disciples say, Jesus, look at these stones. I mean, Jesus is just walking away from the temple. I don't know what they've been doing, if they've been worshiping God. It's the end of like church, and now they're leaving. They're going to go and grab lunch or whatever. And one of the disciples stops Jesus and says, Jesus, isn't this amazing? Jesus, look at what man has done. Look how great these people are. Jesus, have you considered how difficult it would be to pick up a stone that is 570 tons and carry it and put it in place and then put a whole lot of others? Jesus, these people are clever. Jesus just says, you're impressed by this? And there's something deeper. You know what I love about the Bible is that when you read it, there's always like, it's great. You read this surface level. But if you just think about it, you see, when you and I sit and say, wow, that is really impressive. The thoughts that then follow that, the words that come out of our mouth. So we say something, but then, so think of anything. You know, I mean, Usain Bolt is incredible. Wade Fanikak is even better. I could never do that. I'm not a fast runner. I mean, Scorsan, how does he get tackled and get up and run and score a try without the ref seeing that it was even a tackle and he shouldn't have picked the ball up, kept the ball in his hand, and he was so fast, not even the ref saw him? I can't do that. I may as well not even play rugby. You know, I can't play a guitar like Ovette. You know, I won't even try. I used to play the drums here. And then Taryn came along. And after like a week, she was doing stuff. She was like 14, I think. Hey, Manny, how old was she? 14. And she was doing stuff that I couldn't even do if I wanted to. I'll just give up playing drums. You see, when we think about how great man's achievements are, we very quickly start thinking about how insignificant we are. Because you know what? There's always someone who can do it better. Hey? Always someone else who can do it better. And then we knock ourselves. And Jesus says, don't be impressed by that. And he was actually right here because, I mean, those stones, the gold, it was layered in gold. And when they burnt the temple down, literally, they had to move every stone to try and get at the gold. And so every stone was overturned. Amazing stuff. But Jesus says, don't worry about that stuff. Don't worry about what you can't do. Doesn't matter if other people are doing things better than you. Speaking into the fear or the worry about the future, Jesus says, this is just routine stuff. You know, you're asking me about what's going to happen at the end. What's going to happen at the end? Why do we have this fascination about the end of the world? We're so concerned about how and when we're going to die that we don't bother living. Hey. And so Jesus says, listen, you guys know, if you've read Daniel, you've probably memorized it. You know what is going to happen. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about the future. It's routine history. And it's not a sign of the end. Your end will come when God decides it's your end. He says, everyone's going to be at your throat because of me. This whole thing of relationships, of people, my own family members are going to be upset because of Jesus. And we all want to be liked. Is there anyone here who does not want to be liked? We all want to be liked. And we don't know what to say. I don't think it's only the introverts who think of the perfect comment when you get into bed at night and then you've had the argument at like 6 in the morning and then, oh man, I should have said that. So Jesus tells them, don't worry about what you think you can't do. He says, don't worry about the future. Don't worry about what to say. The Holy Spirit will help you. And he says, don't worry about what you think others think of you. Because that's really what it is, hey? The biggest fear is what we think others think about us. Instead, don't worry about what you think you can't do. Focus on what God can do. Because Ephesians 3:20 says, if we could think about it, if we can imagine it, God can do immeasurably more. Immeasurably more. Now unto him who is able. You could just stop there. He is able. Hey, focus on what God can do. Don't worry about the future. Focus on the present. Focus on what's happening now. Don't worry about what to say. God will speak through you. Don't worry about what others think. You know what's more important? What God thinks of you. And we don't have to think what God thinks of us because it's written down. Hey, Ariel, do you know what God thinks of you? Yes or no? Matt, do you know what God thinks of you? There you have it, folks, in black and white. We know what God thinks of us. We do have it in black and white in the Bible. We've even got it in red. We know exactly what God thinks of us. So we don't have to worry about what we think other people think. Hey? Now with all of this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. There was one thing Jesus said you must do. You're placed there as sentinels. Sentinels of the truth. This message has to be preached. We've got one thing to do. And yet, we get ourselves all worked up about all the worries and stuff. So, serious moment, serious story. About 9 years ago, maybe 10, let's say 9 and a half, just to be safe. There was a little girl, let's call her Michelle, because her name was Michelle. And she was about 2, 2 and a half, maybe 3 years old. My wife is telling me. How old was she? 3 years old. And like any three-year-old child, her number one worry was, where am I going to get my next sweet? And one of the benefits for Michelle of growing up here in Johannesburg, her granny from my side is in heaven. Her granny from Allison's side was in Cape Town. But in the family, she has got so many grannies. And even before Granny Eve was here, there was Granny Lillian. And Lillian used to bring Michelle a sweet every single week. Amazing. She'd get sweets from Lillian. It was so funny. It's like jump out the car, head straight for the lady who's wearing purple. She was just like, I'm heading for Granny Lillian. And the one day Michelle realized there's got to be a supply of these sweets. If I can go straight to the supply. Now, I don't know quite how this happened. But she ended up saying to Lillian that it was okay if she went home with Lillian. So she's off for the mother load. In this case, the grandmother load of sweets. Okay? And she heads off with Lillian. She doesn't tell her parents, Michelle. We busy with church stuff. We're doing this. We're doing that. We like running around. Next minute, it's time to go home. Have you seen Michelle? I thought she was with you. Have you? No, I thought she was with you. Where's Michelle? Nobody knows where Michelle is. That was in the days where cars were getting hijacked from. Yeah, I'm thinking, my daughter's gone. Now I'm worried. Running up and down these passages, shouting, Michelle, Michelle. No cars left in the parking area. Sam, I think you were running around helping us look. We ran up to the park. I ran around the neighborhood. You cannot imagine how worried I was. Well, you can. Just think of your child. Now, how do you think I would have felt if this didn't happen? But how do you think I would have felt if one of my other kids came along? Like, while I'm running down the passage shouting, Michelle, Michelle, where are you? If one of the other kids came along and said, Dad, Dad, can we have chocolate pudding for lunch today? See, it's not a bad question, eh? I mean, there's nothing wrong with asking for chocolate pudding for lunch. But the timing. So God our Father says, I've got lost children. God the Son says, I've come to seek and to save my father's lost children. And what are our prayer lives like? God, can we have chocolate pudding? Hey? Where are our priorities? Do we not understand the time in which we're living? God has lost children. And we are the sentinels. We are the search crew. We are the rescue party. And yes, we can feel as if we're not equipped. What are people going to think about us? What are people going to say about us? Am I going to lose relationships? What will happen in the future? What am I going to say? Jesus says, don't worry. Just do. And I'll be there. And you know what? If you just stick it out all the way to the end, you're going to get saved. Now, us finding lost people is not conditional on us getting saved. Got to stress that. But this whole thing is about our relationship with God. And God has lost children.